after coming home from a beautiful pilgrimage and knocking all of the sand out of his shoes, Monsignor O'Connor is joining us today to share a little bit about the beautiful pilgrimage he was on, along with Monsignor Syak, to the beautiful island of Molokai and the Church of St. Damien. Good morning, Monsignor. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Good morning, Brenda.
Before we get to your pilgrimage, first, I would love to talk to you a little bit about sacred liturgy. Of course, coming up is the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord. It's happening on May 9th, which is a Thursday. But as you say, in most dioceses in the country, it's transferred to the Sunday. So where do we lie in that?
Yes, just I think about four or five, six dioceses keep it on Ascension Thursday, and the rest have transferred it to the Sunday, to the following Sunday. So we will celebrate it on the following Sunday. Those dioceses, as I recall, are Boston and Hartford and that province of the northeast of America. So yeah, our we in the Archdiocese of Portland, Seattle, etc., we will celebrate on the Sunday after Ascension Thursday.
Is there a particular number of days then from the resurrection to May 9th that requires that to be what would be the Ascension?
Yes, 40 days, yeah.
It's 40 days.
Yeah.
So the readings on Thursday then for the daily Mass, are they feast day readings and then also the same readings again on Sunday?
No. So the Mass is transferred to the Sunday. So everything happens. So it will be the Thursday of the, sixth week of Easter.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. So then we can all celebrate together come Sunday. Not to say that going to daily Mass on Thursday wouldn't be also a wonderful opportunity to celebrate our Lord.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
The Ascension. Monsignor O'Connor, you recently came back from a pilgrimage to Molokai. In fact, you were gone during our share-a-thon. Mm. You were kind enough to record ahead of time for us, and then one of your staff members joined us live that day. It was a wonderful hour of share-a-thon, as it usually is. Your parish always so supportive of you, but you were there spending some wonderful time, and from what I could see from the pictures that you've shared, it was a blessed time in Molokai. Tell the listeners a little bit first.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get there?
Well, so it was a pilgrimage and a vacation. So we call it a pilcation, a new term what we came up with, because it was
like
only
that.
One day that we spent, excuse me, in Kalapapa, and the rest we had some vacation on Molokai. So the peninsula where Father Damien was is called, there are two parts of a peninsula, and it's beneath some very steep cliffs. In fact, they say they're some of the steepest cliffs in the world. They're about 2,000 feet. They go down to this peninsula, which is called Kalapapa, and he originally landed at Kalauoa, which is on the other end of that. But they moved the leper colony to Kalapapa because of the weather was better there. So this is where Father Damien lived. So he moved there, at the end of the 19th century. And lived there for 21 years before he died of leprosy himself. And he just went to take care of the lepers that were rounded up in the rest of the Hawaiian Islands and brought and sent to Kalapapa starting in 1866. So the Hawaiian government said anybody suspected of leprosy had to go to a doctor and be checked out. And if they were found to have leprosy, they were shipped out to Kalapapa.
Wow.
To the colony there.
And then from what I've read in history, there were thousands.
Over the period of the leper colony, or the settlement, as we say, there were 8,500 men, women, and children that went there. And at its height, there were about 1,100 in the colony at one time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a really sad and horrific part of our history, because Father Damien wrote about it, his life there, and obviously he was very committed to look after the community, but he said it was awful because the people that were sent to Kalapapa were really given a life sentence. They weren't leaving there and they went there to die. Now it may take a few years, it may take 40 years, but they were, so he said with that mentality of death constantly there, people didn't care much about morality or anything like this, and it was a lot of crime, a lot of promiscuity, all sorts of things going on that he had to battle. So it wasn't just like he was a normal priest in a normal parish. He was really working with people that were on a death sentence.
Right. When if you know that death is imminent,
yeah.
There's a real lack of hope,
I would imagine.
And
yeah.
How do you serve people that way?
And so it was, Father Damien that brought some hope to these people. And, you know, he had some success in converting people to Catholicism, and you know, he was. But it was a horrific environment to work in, you know. And poor Father Damien was alone most of the time, and you know, he, you know, he had a difficult time with loneliness because he was the only priest there mm-hmm. for a while. I mean, they tried to send other priests, but they would go and live on the other end of the island, and it, you know, he didn't get on with some of them and things like this. So, but he did battle. If you read his story, he battled with loneliness while he was there.
So the colony where Father Damien was, that's just a small portion of the whole island now. I mean, there's cities there now and people
well,
living.
Well, it's still, yes, but it's still very remote. You know, I can't remember the main town, Kanakaka, I think, is, you know, there's an airport, there's a post office, there's a grocery store, there's a Catholic church, and that's about it. And so we were on the island for the, we lived on the, we had a house on the west, most west coast of the island, and sorry, on the north of the island. Kalapapa's on the west, and you know, we'd be driving around, go to the grocery store and things like this. And we were like the only people on the road and things. It's very remote. No big hotels on Molokai.
Really?
Yeah. No, you know, sort of commercial food stores and things like this. It's all very, very, very small. Yeah. And which is beautiful, right? Because, you know, we three priests, we just went and stayed in this house that was just a walk from the beach. And it was just so quiet. All you could hear are the birds singing. And, you know, it's just like there's no cars going by or anything like this. It was just really quiet. It's beautiful.
Very peaceful, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Monsignor Gerard O'Connor is joining us today, sharing some of the adventures he had when he and Monsignor Syak were on, as you said, Pilcation,
yeah.
A little pilgrimage and a little restful vacation. Monsignor O'Connor, it just sounds like it was a wonderful and fascinating trip, a trip that I want to know more about, but I am already coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in the next half hour?
Absolutely.
And I am back again with Monsignor O'Connor. Monsignor is taking his time today to join us in studio to share a little bit about a wonderful pilgrimage that he took to the island of Molokai and walk in the steps of St. Father Damien. Monsignor O'Connor, thanks so much for staying with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure, Brenda.
So when you were able to go into the area or
the settlement, it's called
the settlement, okay, of Father Damien, what still remains there of his?
So the Hawaiian government only dispensed with forced isolation in 1969. So in the settlement today, there are six patients left. These patients would have gone there when they were children, and they've lived to be this ripe old age. And of course, you know, since the invention of penicillin, Hansen's disease or leprosy mm-hmm. is curable, of course. And 95% of all people in the world cannot catch it because we have a natural immunity to it. So the Hawaiian government wanted to close the settlement down, the colony, if you like. And it was decided that they wouldn't because the people who were living there at the time couldn't envision going back into normal society after they'd been there for a long time. So they decided that they would leave the colony until the final people have passed away, and then they'll decide what to do with it. So now the colony is run by the National Park Service, and to be honest with you, it's like if you've ever been to a disused barracks, you know, like an army barracks mm-hmm. that's, you know, abandoned. It was sort of like that. The houses that the patients lived in have all gone. The patients have gone. The houses are sort of empty. There's a lot of derelict buildings there. And it's and as I say, there's most of the people that live there are national park workers.
Okay.
And even then, they live during the week and they go home at weekends to Honolulu or something like this. So, you know, there's one store in town, and visitors cannot buy anything from the store. It's only for those people who live on the island. You can buy soda and chips, anything else, the food, the meat, the cheese, milk, etc. It's only for the people that live in Kalapapa. And so the park ranger or the police there, people under 16 are not allowed to go into the colony, only six visitors per day. You know, all these rules about this this part of this National Park Service, National Park. But it's very beautiful. But, so there's one Catholic priest there, Father Pat Kilalea, who's 80 years of age, and he runs the parish, which is St. Francis there. And Father Pat was awesome to us. So there were us three priests, and we had another couple with us who were from Hawaii with their daughter, and the six of us, he took us around the whole island, you know, the whole part of the settlement and the original parts, and told us all about Father Damien, et cetera. And then he introduced us to the sisters. There are two sisters still remaining who are from the Franciscan sisters that Mother Marianne Cope started. And they showed us around the convents and things like this. So it was really quite awesome, yeah.
And were you able to see or visit or be near where Father Damien lived, where he served?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So his first church, when he arrived there, he built, it was called St. Philomena. And it's still there to this day. It's been renovated and expanded a little bit over the years. And so Father Pat took us there to celebrate Mass. So the three of us celebrated Mass at an altar that Father Damien built. So, you know, Father Damien is a great, you know, craftsman with wood and all sorts of things. He built the church and he built this beautiful altar, and we got to celebrate Mass at that altar. So it was really, really special. So it was beautiful, yeah.
Monsignor O'Connor, many people, we do go on pilgrimage, of course. Recently, I just came back from Rome and different shrines in Italy, and I recognized that, you know, the need to be pilgrims and learn. For a priest, what do you take back from a pilgrimage? Is it just knowledge for your own priesthood, or does it give you maybe a wider view of
possibility? Yeah, I think you look at, you know, you walk around Calopapa and you walk around the sites of the first buildings, the orphanages, the boys' homes, things like this that you can see, the, you know, the girls' convents, you know, because it's just, one, you're reminded of the horrific part of our history when we did this. And the other is just like you can feel as though you're with St. Damien and St. Marianne, you know, this is the land they walked on. Mm-hmm. This is the place that they were buried in. Now their remains have gone back to New York and Belgium. But, well, there's part of Father Damien's armor's back there, and Mother Marianne has got some relics there. But you just walk in these places. These buildings still exist, some of them. That, you know, they've been renovated perhaps over the years, but you feel as though you're in their time. You can sympathize with them. In fact, more than empathize, because you're there in the same places as they are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and people are telling you the stories, and the sisters telling the stories. One of the sisters has been there since 1965. And so she, you know, knows all that's in modern history of what's been going on in that time. And she's part of the Sister Marianne's order, so she knows. So it was very informative. It was a very beautiful thing to do.
Well, blessed time to be able to spend there on pilgrimage. Of course, even more blessed time to also rest and vacation. While you were there on those vacation times that you were able to just relax a little bit, did you enjoy any local flavors?
Not really. We were staying in a house on a beach, and we stayed in the house. We cooked our own food, and we did a lot of reading, and we watched one film, Molokai,
okay.
Which is that film with... I can't remember who's in it, Chris Christopherson or someone like that. So we watched a movie, but did a lot of reading and just, you know, that sort of stuff. Spent some time on the beach. I didn't spend too much time on the beach, not with my complexion.
Yeah.
It
doesn't appear that you got sunburned,
no, that is a blessing too. I always, yeah. But one great piece of providence happened to us. So when we're in Calopapa, there's a hike down to Calopapa from what they call the topside. Mm-hmm. And Father Damien used to have to do this once every month or 2 months to get up to see the other priest to go to confession. And it's a really strenuous hike. It's about 2,000 feet in elevation, and it was about a 3-mile hike, something like that, two and a bit mile hike. So all my friend Father Derek Lappy wanted to do was do this hike, right?
Okay.
And then we found out that it's closed, so we couldn't do it. People are not allowed to do it anymore. So anyway, on the way out of Calopapa, we went to get our plane at 5 o'clock. And as we're going to the airport, the park ranger has got its lights on and it's going to the airport. And we said, this doesn't look good, right? So we got to the airport. It's a little airport. I mean, very, very small. And U.S. Navy had to do an emergency landing on the airstrip at Calopapa.
Oh.
So, and the protocol is they close the airstrip down indefinitely until it's whatever it is. So that was it. So the park ranger said, well, you won't be living here tonight because... So they said, we'll have to find you some emergency accommodation because there are no hotels in Calopapa or anything like this.
Okay.
So Father Lappy said, hey, can we hike out? And she said, well, you're not supposed to, but I suppose it's an emergency. You can. And she said, you better go now because it's going to be dark in 2 hours. So we packed up our bags, we put our rucksacks on, and Father Pat dropped us off at the trailhead, and we hiked out. And it was amazing.
And you hiked out to where?
To the topside. And then we had someone at the top, Father Pat called someone to take us to the airport to pick up our car. But yeah, so we did this hike. Now, that's all Lappy ever wanted to do was do this hike, and we were not allowed to do it. So he was really disappointed. And we got to do it. And the park ranger gave us permission to go up and do the hike. And honestly, it's just like walking up, 2,000 feet of stairs. It's really...
Wow.
And they say in the old days that it was not unusual because they used to herd the cattle from topside down to Kalapapa. It was not unusual to see a cow bouncing off the rocks as they slip
it's
down.
Steep.
Oh, it's
and as you said
steep.
In the beginning of the yeah. interview, some of the steepest terrain.
Yeah,
the
cliffs
island.
Are some of the steepest in the world. Yeah, that go from top to the sea. So, but anyway, that was a great blessing. It was a lovely piece of providence that Navy plane, sort of landed there, and then we had to get out somewhere because there's nowhere for us to stay. So it was good.
Little miracles
when
you have the eyes to see. Well, it sounds again like it was such a wonderful trip. We appreciate you coming back and sharing some of your stories about it. So thank you so much. Before we go, will you please end us in prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example you give us with Father Damien and Mother Marianne. May we imitate them in their loving service of you and your church. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Monsignor O'Connor. Thank you again for joining us.
You're very welcome.